الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين فإن زللتم من بعد ما جاءتكم البينات فاعلموا أن الله عزيز حكيم وقال سبحانه وتعالى في مقام آخر يا أيها الذين آمنوا عليكم أنفسكم لا يضركم من ضل إذا اهتديتم إلى الله مرجعكم جميعا فينبئكم بما كنتم تعملون آمنت بالله صدق الله العظيم All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who out of His grace, His kindness and His mercy and His excessive compassion nature has caused His beautiful religion, the religion of Islam which is the religion of truth to reach to all of us that alhamdulillah through Allah's guidance we are all believers and we are all Muslims. It is a very very great ni'mat and favor of Allah and we should contemplate on one ayah of the Holy Quran. Sometimes we need reminders. And like how some people behave, there was an occasion when some people from a tribe accepted Islam. And when they accepted Islam, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and started to say, well, we accepted Islam, now we are Muslims. Trying to brag their Islam to the Rasul of Allah to show that, well, we have done a good favor to Islam, that we have accepted Islam also. So Allah should be proud of us, and you, O Muhammad, you should be proud of us also, that we have accepted Islam. When they started to behave in that manner, Allah revealed an ayah in the Holy Quran telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to instruct them that do not brag about your Islam upon Allah. It is Allah's grace and mercy that He has chosen you for Islam. Don't bring off on Allah, in other words. Don't behave in a manner that Allah owes you something, that Allah has to repay you for accepting Islam, or Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has to repay you because you accepted Islam, or all the Muslims must be happy That is there. We must be happy. But the way they carried about themselves was that Allah owes something to us because we accepted Islam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed it around in the Holy Quran by telling them, you should not praise yourself and you shouldn't come up towards Allah thinking that you have done a favor to Allah that you have accepted Islam. Nay, it is Allah who has done a favor to you to choose you for Islam and to give you that favor, ni'mat of Islam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has caused Islam to reach far and wide. And you and I live in so far away from many different countries which we know that Islam has started in. We have also gotten Islam, subhanallah. May Allah be glorified and praised for that favor He has given to us. Because when we look back at Islam, we will see that Islam had a very, very humble beginning. Islam had a beginning that everyone knows about, a very poor background. A background that started with poverty, adversity, sufferings, persecution. Look at the one who brought the torch of Islam. Look at the one who brought Islam in the universe. That today Allah has reached Islam to every nook and corner of the globe. The young person Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his father passed away before he was born. At the age of 6 years, his mother passed away, becoming an orphan at such a young age, growing up in the midst of so many different peoples and tribes and cultures and trends and ways of life, surrounded by idol worship and surrounded by so many different things other than the thing towards Allah, bearing all the troubles and the pains and the suffering, having no parental love, having no guidance from a father or mother, moving from one house to the other house, being in the hands of this one and then being in the hands of the other one. The day he proclaimed the message, there was no one immediate to help him except his uncle, who was also an unbeliever, but he stood by his side. And Islam started in that manner. House made of mud walls, caves, mountain places, a man grazing goat and sheep, man milking the goat and the sheep. This is what Islam started like, moving through the alleys and moving through the ghettos and moving through the mountain tops and being pelted with stones and covered with dust and covered with blood, moving to people one day after the other. Stones will be flung towards him, thorns thrown on his path, garbage thrown on his blessed face, and he will still go again and again. And after many days and many nights, wherever he saw a crowd, he will go and sit with them uninvited. He will speak to them. He will speak to them about Islam. They will laugh at him. They will make a mockery out of him. They will joke upon him. He will get up and he will walk. But that was not enough. They walked behind him, continuing to jest and jeer at him, and he walked and he continued. And he continued with this little message that he was given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Slowly and slowly, after years, one person he had with him, then two persons he had with him, and then three persons he had with him. And with all the persecution and the torture, the oppression that came to them, and the bitterness and the enmity and the animosity that was shown to them, they had to bear everything. But in a very short space of time, subhanallah, a prophet who was given the shortest lifespan, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whose nabuwat was the shortest nabuwat, a period of 23 years. After a period of only 23 years, not only the house, not only his family members, not only the streets on which he lived, but the big cities of Makkah and Medina were flourishing with Islam. And the entire Arabian Peninsula started to flourish with Islam. And Allah started to spread the word which started. A word which started like that. A word which started in a manner that no one wanted to listen to it. A message which started in a manner that everyone rejected it. And everyone refused it.
And everyone kicked it aside. And everyone thought about every other thing but not it. And wherever it went, the flag bearers of Islam, wherever they went, the people to whom they went also did not like it. They refused it. They made a mockery out of it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says why? He says the reason is this, because يُرِيدُونَ أَن يُطْفِيُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ, they wish to out the light of Allah. People of falsehood always recognize when the truth is coming. Because a person who wants the truth and his heart is open, Allah always opens his heart towards it. A person who recognizes the truth, he always opposes it. When he knows it is falsehood and he's on falsehood, he does not oppose falsehood. Falsehood does not oppose falsehood. Falsehood always opposes truth. Haq always fights against batil, and batil is always the enemy of haq. Batil is never the enemy of another batil, because all of them are one millet. Haq is never the enemy of a haq, but batil is always the enemy of haq, and haq is always the enemy of batil, and so shall it continue until doomsday, until the day of judgment. That is how it is in the world. So in a very short space of time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said they did not want it, but it was a final message. It was a message which came to last until the end of mankind, until the end of the world. It was a message that is made to exist, but the people did not like it. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a plot against him was made to kill him. They surrounded his house to kill him. They took out their swords to behead him. They burst open the door and entered his private chambers to kill him. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam walked out right in front of their eyes and they could not see him. So all the efforts were made so that they will end his life. They will end Islam. The man they wanted was not Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What they wanted was Islam. يُرِيدُونَ أَن يُطْفِيُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ, they wish to out the light of Islam. But what is the promise of Allah? وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ, but Allah's promise is that He will complete His light, even though they dislike it, even though they don't like it, even though they reject it, even though they want to out it on the face of the earth, even though they want to put it out of the land, and they want to put it out of the houses, and they want to put it out of the universe and the globe. Allah says no, wallahu mutimmu nurihi walau karihal kafirun. Allah's promise is He will complete it, and that is the promise of Allah. And Allah will find the ways and the means to complete it, and Allah will do it through the services of many different people, and through the services of even the animals, and through the services of even the transgressors. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Allah will use for the khidmat of the deen of Islam even the service of a fasiq and a fajr. Allah will use even his service so that Islam will continue. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He will complete His religion. He will complete His light on the face of the earth. And so we see the beginning of Islam. That is how it started. One person, one man, moving from pillar to post, being kicked and shoved all around the place. But subhanallah, at the end of his mission and the end of his apostleship, what did we see in the Holy Land of Arabia? What did we see in Mecca and Medina? What did we see in Syria and Yemen? What did we see in a few years time after happening to the Roman Empire and the Persian Empire? What did we see happening to the Asian continent and the African continent? What have we seen happening in the world, to Spain and China and all these places? History bears testimony to it. Where did it all start? From one little orphan by the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from within the walls of a mud house and stones, from grazing the animals, from walking by grazing the animals and milking the sheep, and by being thrown from pillar to post, and from getting the flogging of the people. This is how it started, and this is how it ended when Allah took him back to himself. That is Islam. And Islam continued to rise in the globe, and Islam started to move from one place to the other place, and wherever people took the banner of Islam with the sole intention of reaching out the message of Allah, Allah always gave them victory. Allah always carried Islam. Allah always gave glory to Islam. Anytime they wanted to protect Islam and the religion of Allah, Allah gave them victory. But whenever they wanted to protect their own prestige and their honor, and they wanted to protect their own kingdom, and they wanted to protect their own seats, and they wanted to protect their own wealth and their throne, Allah humiliated them, and history bears witness to that. But whenever it came to the deen of Allah, then Allah uses people to protect His deen. But if you have to protect your personal gains for your honor and your prestige and your fame and your name, then you will have to see about that your own self at your own cost. But when it comes about the deen of Allah, Allah's promise is that He will protect His deen. So He will use the human beings as a mediator and instrument to protect the deen, just as He used 313 Sahabas against the thousands of unbelievers in the Battle of Badr. So this is what Allah has done for Islam. This is what is before us in history. And Islam reached far and wide. And Islam reached the different places. And in every direction of the universe, and in every direction of the earth, and in every direction of the world that Allah has created, east, west, north, or south, Allah has made Islam to enter that. And every nook and corner, subhanallah, Islam reached there. And every city knows about Islam, and every people know about Islam. And every generation thereafter, after the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they have heard about Islam. Whether people live in the jungle, or they live in the city, or they live in the village, they live in the urban areas or rural areas, every person knows about Islam, subhanallah. Islam, Allah has taken the message far and wide. But when Islam moved out from these places, which were known as the Islamic countries or Islamic states, when Islam moved to the different shores, and when the Muslims became a minority in that land and that city and that state, the Muslims always encountered a problem. And wherever Muslims live on the face of the earth, in such an environment, they will continue to encounter that problem. Wherever Islam is found to be in the minority, whenever Muslims are found to be in a minority, wherever Muslims find themselves living and the home is not the home of Islam, and today it has happened that the problem also exists in the home that is the home of Islam also. The problem exists in even Darul Islam today. The countries of Islam, the problem exists. But wherever people like you and I find ourselves, living amongst other people, the state, the law, the country is not Islam. It is not an Islamic law. The rules are not governed according to the Islamic ordinance and the laws and legal infrastructure of Islam. When we live in a society that is mixed with so many different people, when Muslims find themselves living all over the globe, and it is the mixture of cultures, then there is where a problem comes up. The problem does not come up, the problem does not arise when we live with mixed people and mixed races. The problem does not exist there. We have to understand something. It is a very important thing we need to understand. Because the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were such that he was an Arab, one was a Persian, one was a Roman, one was an Abyssinian. So mixing with people is what Islam taught us. How you interact with people of different cultural background, of different race, Islam has taught us. Islam has corrected that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was an Arab from among the highest clan of the Arabs, the Quraysh clan. The Quraysh clan. And from among the Quraysh, he happens to be directly as a descendant of Ismail alayhi salam, from the progeny of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the family of Nabuwat, which has a noble and an honorary rank among all the Arabs. This is why the Quraysh are direct descendants from the Ismailites. So Allah chose from among the highest, the tribe, to choose His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Islam has already taught us how to mix with people, how to interact with people. if you are white and another person is yellow or green or blue or white or black, or as the case may be, Islam has taught us that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, own muazzin, personal muazzin, whenever he undertook a journey, Bilal was with him radiallahu ta'ala. Not only for the mosque, was Abyssinian, African, Ethiopian. His close people, Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala, and from among the close, the early Muslims, Suhaib is from Rome. Salman is Farsi, Salman is from Persia. Non-Arabs. Islam has taught us that already. But the problem comes about, my dear brothers and sisters, when we have to interact with people and there is a mixture of cultures and trends and fashions and styles and lifestyle, that is where the problem lies. When we have to live in a community and everyone living in the community has a different lifestyle, everyone has a different trend, everyone has a different fashion, everyone has his own opinion and ideology about life, they have their own way of conducting a business, they have their own way of upbringing children, they have their own way of pleasure, leisure, relaxation, comfort and luxury, and we are in the midst of all these things, there is where the Muslims have a task, and it is a great test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever Muslims find themselves in such a situation, and you and I find ourselves in such a situation, Muslims living in the Western Hemisphere, we find ourselves living in a situation like that. Muslims living in America and England and Canada and all the different places, we find ourselves living in such a manner that there are certain things that you may have to do by the law of the land against your religion. That is a task and a test. That is the problem we encounter, and the problem that Muslims continue to be confronted with wherever they find themselves. In such a situation, Muslims find themselves fallen into one of three categories of people. One of three categories of people. The first category of people, they are those people who knows about Islam. They have heard about Islam. Their religion is Islam. Being a Muslim, they acknowledge from the bottom of their heart that there is their Lord who is known as Allah. They have a religion, the Prophet, the example is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They have a guide, the words of Allah as revealed in the Holy Quran. They believe in that, not only with their tongue, but with their hearts, their entire mind and their soul. And wherever they find themselves living, they fully submit towards Allah's law as mentioned in the Holy Quran and the practice that is given through Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You send them on the moon, over there also they say, I am a Muslim, I must perform my salat. You send them above the seven heavens, over there also they know Allah, Rabbi, Allah is my Rabb. Kalam Allah, Quran, the Kalam of Allah is the Quran. My Nabi is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They know they have to submit to Allah. You send them beneath the seven earth, over there also they know, they believe, they acknowledge and they submit to the obedience of Allah, for they know that Allah is there also. Allah is their creator. Allah deserves their submission. Allah deserves their obedience. You put them in the midst of all the turmoil, you put them in the midst of all the oppression, you put them at the sword, you put them on a cross to hang, you put a gun at their head, you put them in the most amount of sufferings and trial, and even at that time they say, I believe in Allah, Allah is my Rabb, I submit to Allah wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly. Wherever you put them, they are the poorest of all the people living on the face of the earth. They still believe in Allah. They still submit to Allah. They become the greatest governor and they leave their throne, they leave their kingdom, they leave their palace and they bow their head like the ordinary Muslims towards Allah 5 times a day and even more than that. Wealth does not affect them. Poverty does not hinder them. Family does not hinder them. Like Sulaiman alayhi salam, being the king of the whole world and still he was a Nabi and Prophet of Allah. Fame and name did not put pride and arrogance in their heart. But wherever they were, in whichever time they lived in, in whichever country they lived in, they never allowed the styles, they never allowed the customs, they never allowed the trends to divert them from the way they had to do. They never said to anyone, neither did they say to Allah, "Oh Allah, you know I live in a country, there is no halal meat, I am forced to eat haram meat. Oh Allah, you know I live in a country, I have no other choice except to commit zina. Oh Allah, you know I live in a country that I must work during Jummah time, so I cannot perform my Jummah, my boss is going to fire me. Oh Allah, you know I live in a country that if I fast, I will be fired from my job." They know that they do not say, "Oh Allah, you know I live in a country that I cannot work and keep my beard. I must shave my beard. I must give up my practices." They are not like that. They are not like that. But in every situation, they acknowledge the fact that Allah is their creator. And it is Allah's right over them to be obedient and submissive towards Allah. It is Allah's right which He will take them to task for. It is Allah's right upon that person that wherever he finds himself, whether he is a journeyer, whether he is a resident, whether he has no clothing at all, whether he cannot find wuzu, water for wuzu, when the time for prayer comes, he must bow his head and place his head on the ground and cry before Allah and prostrate before Allah. He knows when that time comes, that is his duty. This is why Ali radiallahu ta'ala and the Sahaba says, whenever the time comes in for prayer, Ali used to tremble and weep. Ali used to tremble and shake, and Ali will weep and the tears will roll down his beard and fall on his chest. And some of them will say to him, "Why Ali, why are you trembling and shaking like that?" He says, "Don't you know what time is this? This is a time for us to leave everything and turn towards Allah and fulfill that task which Allah has given the mountains and the earth, and the mountains and the earth failed to uphold that task, and we the human beings undertook the task. This is a time to fulfill that task." Do you know what time it is? This is the time to respond towards your Creator now. It is not time for this and that. So wherever that person finds himself, even though there is peer pressure, even though there is pressure in the community, every time he's ready to uphold Allah's law, like a prophet in the midst of darkness and in an ocean of sins, everyone is against you, but treading the path of Ibrahim alayhi salam, kicked out by his father, kicked out by his family members, burnt by Namrud, like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his uncle starts to stone him, the other uncle starts to hit him, but he says, "This is a mission that if you put the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left, I will not give it up." That is the first type the Muslim find themselves into, the first category. About such people, Allah says about them, subhanallah, وَمَنْ يُسْلِمْ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ. Certainly, those who fully submits himself towards Allah in every situation, he does not budge from Allah's submission and obedience, and he does good deeds. فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرُوَةِ الْوُثْقَى. He has certainly held on to the strongest rope, subhanallah. He can't go wrong in life. It's the strongest rope he's holding on to. There is no falling apart. Allah has taken hold of him. Allah's rope holds him together. Allah's eyes are upon him. Allah's rahmah, Allah's mercy, Allah's barakah, Allah's rewards, Allah's blessings is with him. He's holding on to the strongest rope. That is the best. Allah says in another ayah, بَلَا مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ. Certainly, those people who fully submit themselves in every condition, wherever they are, whenever it is, whatever situation they might find themselves in, they fully submit themselves towards Allah and they do good deeds. Allah says, فَلَهُ أَجْرُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ. They will certainly get their rewards in full from Allah. Allah will bless them with full rewards. وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. When other people will have fear in their hearts while living, Allah says they won't have any fear. No fear. Things, 100 things will go wrong and they have no fear in their hearts, subhanallah. The world will turn upside down and they have no fear, subhanallah. That is from Allah. Everything will happen in the world. Everyone is running and screaming and bawling and all. They have no fear. Allah promises, لا خوف عليهم. These are His servants, no خوف. ولا هم يحزنون. They will not grieve over anything. Nothing can be better than that person who has fully submitted himself towards Allah and he does good deeds. That is the best. There is no other way but that. That wherever we are in, whatever country, whatever era we find ourselves, under whose authority and under whose rulership, under whose prime ministership, under whose presidentialship or presidentship we find ourselves, the believer says, Allahu Rabbi, Allah is my Rabb, and I am, say like Ibrahim, Aslamtu lillahi Rabbil Alameen, I submit myself towards Allah. That is one. The other group, it is just the opposite of that. That Muslims find themselves living in a place, having Islam as their religion, but this is a new place, this is a modernized country, this is their statements. Islam was for the Asian continent, Islam was for Arabia. Putting on these things on our head and walking the street, that is for those times. Here is America, here is Canada, here is real life. Finding themselves there, every direction we look at, it is something which is against Islamic teachings. It is a statement which is against Islamic teachings. It is a propagation against religion itself. All is for Islam, religion on the whole. Everything that is being propagated. You look at other people, you say, listen brother, here, listen carefully. You see this country, you have to work to survive. See, all this getting up early and taking time off for Zuhar and taking time off for Jummah Salat, you have to work to survive. You have to forget that a little bit. If people see you with something looking like a Muslim, they will take you for somebody else. They will feel that you are from some back in time civilization. This is a different life. This is about building your comfort and luxury. This is about providing for your family. How long will you live? How long will you will rent? You will have to do so many things. And the man, ease by ease, he starts to what? To leave off everything. Quran he knew about, he started to leave that. Because every day back in his country, his uncle or father will say, son, you have to read a page of Quran every day. Barakat is from that. Get up early, read your Fajr, go to mosque. But you are on your own. The environment doesn't do that. The neighbors do not do that. Everything you look at on television, on the media, is something pulling you away from it. You wake up late because you want to look at so many news that your eye closes at time for Fajr. We want to do so many things, and everything happening, it is happening that the environment and society takes a good grip of us and pulls us in into it and sucks us into it. So much so that sometimes the only time we realize we have gone far is when the angel of death is standing. Well, you know it's time to go back. We say, well, wait, what I was really doing this time. That's the time we come to reality. And people realize that the world is only about this life. It is about building mansions and cars and women and music and every single thing. This is real life. And everything we knew about Islam is just dumped. It is now turned away. And now our sisters who would have used to practice Islam in the past, now they say, well, you know, husband, you know, I mean, I have to tell you, but you know what is in society now. I mean, you changing, I must change a little thing too. Oh, what are you going to do? It's a Western country we live in. Anyhow, when we're ready to go back for holidays, I go put down all my scarf and thing, and we go back. Makkah, and we go back. Pakistan, and everybody will know things going good. So, we get bought over by the trends. So much so that Muslims forget what is the religion of Islam. And so bad sometimes we become that the day of Eid also is not the day we go to masjid. Fallas for the day of Jummah. Islam will now become an alien name. Islam becomes very weak in the person that the next step is out of Islam. It is so weak and shaky. It is so weak and shaky that we are bought over by the things in society. And people tend to look at only material gains. It's only about this now. Boy, I know how to perform salat, but you go feed my child? Look, I have six children to mine. Who will feed them?
If I walk in anger fire, what are you going to do?
This is not the world for it. This is what people think. Allah makes mention about such people also. He says, فَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. From among men there are those who say, oh our Lord. Allah is not speaking about the unbelievers here. Understand, because unbelievers don't say our Lord. They don't say Rabbana. People who recognize Allah, they are the people who say Rabbana. Allah speaks about people who know Allah. They say, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. Oh Allah, you see me, I worried about this world. You give me everything in this world. I want in this world name, fame, whatever it takes, oh Allah, I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to go out, but I have to get good in this world. So give it to me, oh Allah. Give it to me from all sides. Allah says in the Quran, there are some people that we open the heavens to them and they get every barakat. But you know what happened? Those things make their hearts hard. Allah says, after that we seize them and we take them to the fire of hell. So they say, only in this world, oh Allah, this is the life, this is the life, this is the sweetness here. This is life. Nothing else, oh Allah. About them, Allah says, وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. As for those people, they have no share in the hereafter. Nothing. Nothing at all in the hereafter. No blessings, no barakat, no rewards, no jannat, nothing. Not even the shafa'at and the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says nothing for them. Then Allah says, these people, what is their plight? What has happened to them? Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُوا الضَّلَالَةَ بِالْهُدَىٰ. These are the people who have purchased misguidance in exchange for guidance. They had Islam. They had Iman in their hands. They knew they had to worship Allah. They knew they had to give their zakah. They knew they had to come Jummah. They knew they had to be obedient and submissive to Allah. But they have taken that straight away behind their backs, and they have taken in their hands misguidance. They want misguidance. And what have they purchased? وَلَعَذَابَ بِالْمَغْفِرَةِ. They have purchased the punishment of Allah in exchange for the Rahman, the Maghfirat. What they had in their hands could have brought the forgiveness from Allah, the mercy, the compassion, the help from Allah. But they took it, they threw it away, and they are bringing the azab of Allah. Allah says in astonishment, فَمَا أَصْبَرَهُمْ عَلَى النَّارِ. These people really have a lot of patience upon the fire, boy. These people are real sabir. They do about, they know what's Jahannam, and they still want to go down there in Jahannam. They are real sabir. They are really patient upon the fire and astonishment. فَمَا أَصْبَرَهُمْ عَلَى النَّارِ. That's the second category of people who you and I may know also. That you come down here, everything has left us as Muslims. We enter America, everything has left us. It is about there now. It is about there. It is about what that day demands, what that country demands, and we forget everything in our the Islam that is within us, that we sometimes forget about Allah also. We forget about Allah. And then there is a third category of people. A third category of people. That alhamdulillah we are Muslims. But Muslims living in a mixed cultural backgrounds and mixed styles and fashions and all these things normally are convinced also, and they are taken away from Islam a little bit. However, it is not that people will leave Islam. In other words, a man will say, see me, I know I have to be a Muslim. I am a Muslim. I will get up and perform my salah, Jummah, I will. But you see, all these other things, I mean, after all, is a Trini, I have to take part too. Trini like to enjoy, Trini enjoying everything. So Eid coming, mashallah, celebrate Eid. But Christmas around the corner also, so we had to do a little thing for that. So wedding, nikah, Imam Saab will come and give a long khutbah. Imam Saab, registered officer, yes, you'll do the khutbah in Arabic also, mashallah. We want that, but the whole night is farewell, tasa, orchestra. What it is, understand this. You know what we are doing? We want Islam, mashallah, but we also want a little bit of this also. A little this and a little that. The two things we are taking, we are bringing together. So we want to carry on with our Islam, mashallah. But we are so attracted with the trends and the style that exists in the place we live. We want to be a part of that also. We want to be feel a sense of belonging. We want to do this and we want to do that. We come and we perform salat 5 times a day, alhamdulillah, mashallah. But I have a weakness for music. I have to listen to my little chutney and little this and that and little bang and little this and that and who is coming when, and I have to go to that suit concert, etc., etc. Kumbarsanu coming down, I have to buy my ticket. There is something that many of us, you and I, overlook in our daily lives. And many of us, and we have to be serious about it, we are concerned about rituals in Islam. Rituals. Rituals. Imam Saab, and you see me every day in the masjid, you know. Imam Saab, you know where he's going tonight. But yes, he's seen in the masjid. So on the day of judgment, Imam Saab can't save you because Allah knows where you used to go. Allah is the one to take us to task. So Imam Saab intercession wouldn't save. Brother so-and-so wouldn't save because Allah is the judge. And Allah knows about our hidden. And Allah knows about our secret. Allah knows about our public and our open. So many of us tend to concentrate in rituals. But Islam is not a religion of ritualism. Islam is a religion, a part of life. The way we conduct ourselves, the things we do, the way we speak, the way we treat our children, the way we treat our wives, the way we treat our husbands, the way we converse with our parents, the type of jobs we do, the type of salary we collect, every single thing Islam tells us. Who we can look at, who we cannot look at, what we can eat, what we cannot eat, who we can shake hands with, who we cannot shake hands with. Islam has taught us every single thing, every single thing. And we live our entire lives, and some of us forget that Islam is a whole way of life. So while you and I may have done a lot of salat and a lot of ibadat, our books may be filled up with a lot of things which you and I will only see on the day of judgment. Only on the day of judgment we will see that. So you and I, before it is too late, sometimes we have to straighten up our acts. And we have to know that we are telling Allah we are Muslims. Then Allah looks for our actions. Then Allah, maybe he asks the question, but didn't you yesterday you say you are Muslim? What kind of action is this? Are you really a Muslim or not? So wherever we find ourselves, because we live in places that attracts us and also distracts us. Many Muslims we have seen, and you have seen from our own family members, we get distracted very easily. So yes, a little Quran and thing, and we mashallah, we have to do a Quran, khatam, etc., etc., salat is there. But people just cannot separate themselves from the un-Islamic and haram practices that is pulling them towards the fire of Jahannam. This is why Allah says these people are really patient on the fire of hell. We just can't. This and that, this and that. At the end of the life, we have done both things now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala condemns that action. Allah condemns outrightly of that action. And Allah says to us, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu udkhulu fi silmi kafa. Listen, believers. All those who profess La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Man, woman or child. Scholar or non-scholar. Old or young. You live in Arabia or you do not live in Arabia. You live close to the Haram, you live furthest from the Haram. All those people who say that we believe in Allah and profess La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, Allah commands us Udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. Islam is something that he doesn't like half-heartedly. He doesn't like, Allah does not love part here and part there. If we are Muslims, Allah says full submission, total submission. Allah says, I want your whole heart. I want your whole mind and your body and your soul. I want everything into Islam. I want your thoughts to be according to Islam. I want your actions to be Islam. The way you think, the decisions you make, everything. Udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. Enter into Islam wholeheartedly. Let the heart submit fully towards Allah in all that Allah has ordained, in all the Rasul of Allah has given to us. Allah says, He commands us, enter into Islam wholeheartedly. And if you don't do that, and you want to do this and do that, and do be a Muslim, but also bring other things that are going to corrupt and weaken your iman, Allah says, that is from shaitan. So He says in the ayah after, in the same ayah, وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Do not follow the footsteps of Satan. You know why you shouldn't follow the footsteps of Satan? Because إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ. He's your enemy. Who would like to follow your enemy? Who would like to listen to your enemy? Who would like to listen to the enemy? If you know someone is your enemy, will you go and sit down and say, bye, let me make mashura with you, tell me how to do this? You see, your enemy, I'm going to keep the furthest away from you. But many Muslims have taken Satan as the friend. Allah says, no, 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 my believers, he's your enemy. He's your enemy. Now this is the guidance of Allah. This is the guidance of Allah. Muslims, pakka Muslims, 100%. We follow Islam. Not half-heartedly, not this and that. We learn Islam, we follow it. Allah will take us closer and closer and closer. One day, inshallah, we'll be complete and perfect. Inshallah. Allah says, now this is the guidance. Then He says, فَإِنْ زَلَلْتُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاتْكُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ. If you were to slip after true guidance has come to you, you want to slip and go back on this half-half and three-quarter, one-quarter and 25 and 75. After true guidance has come to you, the law of Allah has come to you. If you slip, then فَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. Know well that Allah is mighty. Allah is mighty. Allah is not weak. That you are too many, we are too many to take the task, and we are too many to judge, and we are too many to punish, and Allah can't punish us. Allah is mighty, Aziz, Hakim. Allah is wise. He knows why He has given us such a law. Because anytime we go do a good deed, understand this, and we do a bad deed with it, the bad deed weakens our iman and weakens the good deed that we have done. But when we have done something bad and we do something good after it, the hadith says the good replaces the bad. Allah blesses us. So my dear brothers and sisters, three categories of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us that be very careful. Islam is a religion of Allah, connected to Allah. When we take the name of Islam, we take the name of a very serious thing, something belonging to Allah. Allah does not like anyone degrade and disgrace and humiliate His religion. Allah does not like anyone to give a bad image and a bad reflection to His religion. Allah will take that person to task. So you and I are Muslims. Let us know and understand fully well. Allah tells you and I in the Quran, O those who believe, alaykum anfusakum, you are responsible for your own self. Your father is not responsible for you, your mother, you are not responsible for your wife not responsible, you are responsible for, say, yourself, in saving yourself and ensuring that Allah's punishment does not come to you. Alaykum anfusakum, you are responsible for yourself. You should know that you are in the midst of so many different things. Allah says, لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ضَلَّ إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ. Know very well, O believers, whenever you are guided, unbelievers and people of other trends could never misguide you. Could never misguide you when Allah has guided you. So with this message, I remind myself and all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, we are Muslims. We are servants of Allah first and foremost. We all live in a society and community like this. We all take part in different things. We have to watch ourselves. We have to ask ourselves, which group do we belong to? Do we want to be those who are completely out, that all we worry about is this dunya? Allah, give me here, give me there. Do we want to become like those who are here and there, here and there, here and there? Allah doesn't even know where we are. We don't even know where we are, here and there, and we leave the world like that, and Allah will take us to task. Or the right choice, be those people who, wherever we are, whatever situation we find ourselves in, we are always obedient and submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah strengthen our iman, strengthen our actions, and give us Islam in our hearts. Let it sink in our hearts so we'll be true Muslims to Allah. Wal akhir da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya 'alas-salah. Hayya 'alas-salah. Hayya 'alal-falah. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله العليم الخبير المتقن نظام العالم بلا معين ونصير فسبحان الله حكمته بالغة وعلمه قدير ونعمه واصلة إلى كل صغير وكبير ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ما دامت الكواكب تسير أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين فإن زللتم من بعد ما جاءتكم البينات فاعلموا أن الله عزيز حكيم بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا بآياته وذكر الحكيم نستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إن الله سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر وحياء عثمان وأقضاهم علي وفاتمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله رضي الله تعالى عنهم. اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباتنة لا تغادر ذنبا. الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم من بعد غرضا، فمن أحبهم فبحب أحبهم، ومن أبغضهم فببغض أبغضهم. وخير القرون قرني، ثم الذين يلونهم، ثم الذين يلونهم. إن الله يأمركم بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم، والله أعلى وأولى وأجل وأتم وأهم وأكبر. وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. هيا للصلاة هيا للصلاة، هيا للفلاح هيا للفلاح. قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
Make sure the lines are straight, no spaces between.
Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. فأما من طغى وآثر الحياة الدنيا فإن الجحيم هي المأوى. وأما من خاف مقام ربه ونهى النفس عن الهوى فإن الجنة هي المأوى. يسألونك عن الساعة أيان مرساها فيما أنت من ذكراها إلى ربك منتهاها. إنما أنت منذر من يخشاها كأنهم يوم يرونها لم يلبثوا إلا عشية أو ضحاها. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والضحى والليل إذا سجى، ما ودعك ربك وما قلى، وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى.
ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى